The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect the views of CKLN Radio Incorporated. The following program contains views which some might find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
They would be happy to put a warning on an album that said explicit lyrics, parental guidance.
Let me ask you this. If we have categories and labels and rating systems for movies, why are you opposed to a similar rating system for records?
Well, if a person is hired as an actor for a film, whatever they rate the film doesn't hurt the actor as a person. He is a hired hand and he's pretending. If a person makes an album and he's written the song or he's performing the song and his name is on the album and his picture is on the album, if you rate the album, you're rating the person and you apply a stigma to that individual, and that's not fair.
As a regular radio listener, I feel I must protest most strongly as often as possible. Yours sincerely, Brigadier General Titfield Thunderbolt, MC, GPO, PVC, DSO, and Looney.
Our story opens today in a really ugly building in the really dreadful little country of Canada.
Sir Gerald Kaufman.
Madam Deputy Speaker, I was brought up as an Orthodox Jew and a Zionist. On a shelf in our kitchen was a tin box of the Jewish National Fund, into which we put coins to help the pioneers building a Jewish presence in Palestine. I first went to Israel in 1961, and I've been there since more times than I can count. I had family in Israel, and I have friends in Israel. One of them fought in the wars of 1956, 1967, and 1973. And was wounded in two of them. The tie clip which I'm wearing is made from a campaign decoration awarded to him, which he presented to me. I've known most of the prime ministers of Israel, starting with the founding prime minister, David Ben-Gurion. Golda Meir was my friend. So was Yigal Alon, the deputy prime minister, who as a general won the Negev for Israel in the 1948 War of Independence. My parents came to Britain as refugees from Poland. Most of their families were subsequently murdered by the Nazis in the Holocaust. My grandmother was ill in bed when the Nazis came to her hometown of Staszów. A German soldier shot her dead in her bed. Madam Deputy Speaker, my grandmother did not die to provide cover for Israeli soldiers murdering Palestinian grandmothers in Gaza. The present Israeli government ruthlessly and cynically exploit the continuing guilt among Gentiles over the slaughter of Jews in the Holocaust as justification for their murder of Palestinians. The implication is that Jewish lives are precious, but the lives of Palestinians do not count. On Sky News a few days ago, the spokeswoman for the Israeli army, Major Leibovich, was asked about the Israeli killing of, at that time, 800 Palestinians. The total is now 1,000. She replied instantly, 500 of them were militants. That was the reply of a Nazi. I suppose the Jews fighting for their lives in the Warsaw Ghetto could have been dismissed as militants. The Israeli Foreign Minister, Tzipi Livni, asserts that her government will have no dealings with Hamas because they're terrorists. Tzipi Livni's father was Eitan Livni, chief operations officer of the terrorist Irgun Svai Leumi, who organized the blowing up of the King David Hotel in Jerusalem, in which 91 victims were killed, including four Jews. Israel was born out of Jewish terrorism. Jewish terrorists hanged two British sergeants and booby-trapped their corpses. Irgun, together with the terrorist Stern Gang, massacred 254 Palestinians in 1948 in the village of Deir Yassin. Today, the present Israeli government indicate that they will be willing, in circumstances acceptable to them, to negotiate with the Palestinian President Abbas of Fatah. It's too late for that, Madam Deputy Speaker. They could have negotiated with Fatah's previous leader, Yasser Arafat, who was a friend of mine. Instead, they besieged him in a bunker in Ramallah, where I visited him. It's because of the failings of Fatah since Arafat's death that Hamas won the election the Palestinian election in 2006. Hamas is a deeply nasty organization, but it was democratically elected, and it is the only game in town. The boycotting of Hamas, including by our own government, has been a culpable error from which dreadful consequences have followed. The great Israeli Foreign Minister Abba Eban, with whom I campaigned for peace on many platforms, said, "You make peace by talking to your enemies." However many Palestinians the Israelis murder in Gaza, they cannot solve this existential problem by military means. Whenever and however the fighting ends, there will still be 1.5 million Palestinians in Gaza and 2.5 million more Palestinians in the West Bank, who are treated like dirt by the Israelis, with hundreds of roadblocks and with the ghastly denizens of the illegal Jewish settlements harassing them as well. The time will come, not so long from now, when they will outnumber the Jewish population in Israel. It's time for our government to make clear to the Israeli government that its conduct and policies are unacceptable, and to impose a total arms ban on Israel. It is time for peace, but real peace, not the solution by conquest, which is the Israelis' real goal, but which is impossible for them to achieve. They're not simply war criminals, they're fools.
I know.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
You're killing me.
Just a little dab, that's all you need.
Fight me.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Well, the one thing for sure that you can see from this economic crisis is the way that the global economy works today. And basically, what's happening is that people are being pushed together. And there's increasingly one global community, and an experience of one part of the world reverberates on experiences in another part.
You're killing me.
The question is, does religious faith play a positive role in making that system work with values that are shared, with people being able to live peacefully with each other and respect each other? Or does religious faith become, as it can do, a source of division and conflict and pulling people apart? So what we're doing with my foundation and also with this course at Yale is exploring these issues and seeing how we can get the right basis for people to live peacefully with each other, to respect people of different faiths, and also to understand the importance of faith in the 21st century.
Shut up!
Tony Blair, former British Prime Minister and the Howland Distinguished Fellow at Yale University, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
Fight me.
Now that's progressive.
Yes, it is.
All right, have we set the tone for the program already? I'm Greg Duffel.
Good to be with you.
Yes, thank you, Henry.
Pleasure to be with you.
Oh, good to be with you. Pleasure. Thank you. I didn't think you'd say that after that opening.
Duff is the stuff. That's pretty cool.
Oh, thank you, Tanya. Thank you very much for saying that about Duff here.
Sounds like it's time for Duffel to straighten up.
What? Oh, okay, I'll sit straight in my seat here, yes. Good posture is helpful in terms of putting the program together. Yes, I'll just put my shoulders back. I won't slump over the console as I usually do. Good morning. As I stated before, this is Greg Duffel, and this is the program that airs at 8:30 every Sunday morning here on this very station that I'm speaking from. And we have a program for you this morning. It's one that might infuriate the the Good Morning Moron man who's deemed to phone in the last few weeks. And nice to hear from him, of course. Had a lovely conversation with him after the program last week. I'm not being facetious. It was a very nice civil discussion. And which we usually have off the air. He's very, very polite individual, usually. And so thank you for that. I guess I should bring in my usual co-host, as much as it infuriates. This is the big infuriation of other people and the Good Morning Moron Man, is the presence of this gentleman, Mr. Bob Dobbs, from speaking from Hawaii. Hello, Bob.
Hey, good morning, Greg. It's a wonderful day. I just want to acknowledge the Moron Man. You told me a bit about your conversation. Obviously, he's affected when he's on the air. When he goes discarnate, his personality changes. It's a microcosm of what happens to everybody when radio enters their life. But I want to bring up an interesting statement. According to my news sources, the Obama administration is over. He is now under house arrest by the Bush-Clinton family coup.
A lot of house arrest stuff going on all around. Now, what charlatan is saying this?
Two people, Chris Story at worldreports.org.
I don't trust him. Yes, go ahead.
And Tom Hennigan at Hennigan Intelligence Briefing.
Yet another person that I don't trust. But people can say what they want, right? I think the only person that could sue about that might be Obama himself.
They can't sue. It's a public figure. You can say anything about him.
Yeah, pretty much. You can even sell plates.
Yeah.
You can sell plates and coins and... You don't watch any television there, do you? You don't have to watch television. You just look out the window and look at beautiful days and sunsets and palm trees and such.
Yep, I live in a TV ad, so I don't need to watch TV.
Yeah, I do. It's a bit dreary here sometimes, so I turn on the color television set, and that's a newfangled thing we've got now, color TV. And
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Some suspected a crime and didn't care. Turns out that some of the hedge fund and money managers who guided investors into the care of Bernard Madoff came to suspect that Madoff was breaking the law. How else explain his returns? They pressed for answers, got none, and told their clients, some of whom hightailed it out of the funds connected to Madoff. But plenty of others didn't care how Madoff was making them richer as long as he did so and as long as they couldn't get into trouble themselves. Here's the funny part. If you like sick humor, the law that some so-called feeder fund managers thought Madoff might be breaking wasn't the right one. They figured he was front-running or using orders placed through his brokerage, which once was huge, to plan trades for his money management business, Swiss banker Werner Volpert told Bloomberg. Okay, Greg, that's enough of the serious stuff. Let's get back to the silly quibbling over Zion.
Yeah, speaking of things in color, I just have to mention this. I didn't want to, but I have to. This week in the stores came out a DVD set that is the culmination of all of my dreams over the last 40 years.
Get Smart?
No, that's already out. That came out. This is a good year. Last year was a good year. This year is getting to be a good year. But actually, I don't want for anything anymore. Because this week, the Invaders came out, the Quinn Martin show from 1968. I've been waiting for this to see certain episodes again, literally for 40 years. They Wow. haven't been aired in consistently, at least, or over a national broadcast medium for 40 years since their release. Here's what it sounded like back then.
Invaders, a Quinn Martin production, starring Roy Thinnes as architect David Vincent.
The Invaders, alien beings from a dying planet. Their destination, the Earth. Their purpose, to make it their world. David Vincent has seen them. For him, It began one lost night on a lonely country road looking for a shortcut that he never found. It began with a closed, deserted diner and a man too long without sleep to continue his journey. It began with the landing of a craft from another galaxy. Now, David Vincent knows that the invaders are here, that they have taken human form. Somehow, he must convince a disbelieving world that the nightmare has already begun.
The guest stars in tonight's story, Raymond St. John, Janet McLaughlin, Roscoe Lee Brown, Kent Smith. Tonight's episode, The Vice.
Isn't that exciting? No, Bob?
It sounds a bit corny to me, but it does resonate with my experience. I looked at the recent movie, The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, you know, with that guy, I don't know what his name is, the inventor, the archaeologist.
Oh, Indiana Jones.
Oh, yeah. So it ends with a pretty interesting UFO scene.
Oh, yeah, I heard that. People thought that was a cop-out. Hold on. We'll go to our first call. You're on the air.
Yo, what's up?
Hey, Mike Man, what's up?
Hey, can you get the Dodster Lobster to phone on a different line?
Yeah, I was thinking that. Yeah, it's a bit crackly, isn't it?
Totally crackling.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for the suggestion. I was thinking of doing that myself, but let's see whether it's cleared up. But if it hasn't, then we'll get him to call back. Thanks.
All right, Pete.
Booze.
Oh, I like
booms.
That. Dobster lobster.
You like that?
Yes,
now let's listen here. Let's see if there's any crackling anymore. That's pretty. I think it's pretty good. If we hear more crackling, then Bob, maybe you should phone back. So I know modern audiences probably find it corny to hear this. I swear to you, I was watching one the other night, one of these episodes, and it's really good. And I've been waiting for a long time to see this. I loved it when. I guess I was about 11 or 12 when I first saw the show, and then it just went off after 40 some odd episodes into its second season, and I've been trying to collect these things for years just to see all the episodes, and I never really got all of them. I was trading with people in Australia to get them because it's very, very popular everywhere else but in the United States. It's popular in Quebec. In France, it's practically a cult. I was watching the interview with Roy Thinnes, the actor, and he started talking almost like he was in another world, like he'd gone to another planet when he was traveling to France, and how much they were fating him there, putting on huge parties and showing the shows on television, and he just couldn't believe it that the program was so big. And his son said to him after one episode where they were experience where they were out in the middle of France somewhere, and a bunch of fans recognized him and gave him a signal that proved that they knew all about the program. His son said to him, "You're living in the wrong country." And you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Greg. It's Dave.
Hey, Dave.
That's really good. I love the Invaders. Where did you pick up the different CDs that you usually play on your show?
What do you mean, which the CDs? What do you mean?
Or the DVDs, rather.
I get them at a store.
No, but is there any particular...
No, I'm not going to plug any particular store. You'll have to go around to the various likely candidates and sort out the best price.
Yeah.
And
I check out Soundscapes, but I think they said they only sell CDs and...
Yeah, what?
Stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right,
great.
What's what do you remember about the Invaders, Dave?
What is his name, Roy Thinnes?
Yeah.
And just the voice of the guy who announces the different people on the show.
Yeah.
And just
William,
the music, too.
Yeah, the music was great. It was done by Dominic Frontier. And
they shouldn't have taken that off the air.
No, it should have gone. It was evidently internal politics. Anyway, thanks, Dave.
Sure.
Sometimes I feel like David Vincent, Bob. I feel like invaders have taken over, you know, areas of my life, and that they need to be destroyed. Yeah.
Why the diner? what happens at the diner? It begins with the diner.
Yeah, well, what happens is that he's, Roy, the opening montage, visual montage, which is seen in greater length in the pilot episode, he's just a simple, he's an architect, and he's on a business trip, and he takes a wrong turn, or he pulls off the road, and he thinks he's going to a diner to get some coffee, I guess, because he's really tired as he's driving back from his business trip home. And he finds a deserted diner instead of a place where he can have coffee. So he just kind of hunkers down in his car for a few 40 winks. And in front of him lands a craft from another galaxy. So you see the Invader's spacecraft in front of him glowing. And he's thinking it's almost like a dream. So the... and that's where his quest begins. He, in the pilot episode, he investigates more and starts learning that, or believing that there are beings from another planet who've taken human form. So he, it's a subject, it's like an exploration in paranoia, because everybody else in the world thinks he's a kook, and you can also take it that maybe he is a kook. Maybe he's made it all up. Maybe this is just all a figment of his imagination. And so that's how the series really plays out at the beginning anyway, in the, its original
people in the diner. Are the people in the diner possessed?
No, there's nobody in the diner. The diner's empty. It's just a deserted area that once was populated, I guess, or it was a place along the highway that once was, and now it's been deserted. And that's why the invaders have chosen to have it as a landing area, because it's uninhabited.
And they've been landing there for a while.
Yeah, it's unclear how long the invaders have been here and how deeply they penetrated human society. But there are little clues about the invaders that give it away, like that they sometimes they have a malformed pinky finger, and he can sometimes spot that, or gets a clue that somebody is an invader because of this malformation. The other thing is that they have no pulse, they have no heartbeat, and when they die, they burn up. So there's never any evidence that they were there. So if he has to capture these beings alive. The other problem is that they need to regenerate their human form into their human form every so often. So in order to do that, every few days they have to regenerate. So if they don't regenerate, they die. And those are sort of the rules. Those
are sort of, what are they going to do?
They're going to take over the world. They're going to change the atmosphere of the planet from oxygen to another form that they can live in easier, where they don't have to regenerate all the time. And they're just going to kill all humanity and take over the world, because they're from a dying planet, you see, Bob.
Yeah.
You're on the air. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I just want to say my name is Eva Abad.
Yes.
Oh, it's Eva.
Because I've stopped watching TV.
Yeah.
For 10 years, and I stopped reading newspapers for 25 years.
Okay.
And my life is better and more peaceful.
Yeah, I can.
You know who this is, Greg? You may not know. This is Eva, a longtime employee in the 80s and 90s of Baldwin Foods.
Oh. Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Eva.
Hi, how are you?
You know me well, don't you?
I have no idea. I don't remember, though.
No? Okay.
She hasn't been there since about 93 or 97.
Maybe I wasn't so upfront and personal with the... was it you that sold to the Korean people?
No, the Korean lady was my friend, and I worked with her as a cashier and overseer of the store.
Oh, all right.
With Kim. Her name was Kim.
Oh, okay, Kim. Yeah, I remember her. Yeah.
Yeah. So Eva's.
I guess I'm more familiar with the. Well, it's interesting. The new owners of the store, which is why I was taken aback a little bit. Her name is Eva as well.
No, no. no, no. Her name was Young.
No, I know, but somebody is new owning the store.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, Young is...
The old owner.
Oh, it wasn't Kim. I'm sorry, it's Young. Yes, her name was Young.
Yeah,
The one that the Eva worked with.
So you find that being not having media, although you are listening to radio.
I am a media ecologist.
I
just listen to the radio.
You just listen to the radio. So are you often listening to this particular program or not?
No.
To tell you the truth, this is the first time I listened to your station because Bob Dobbs emailed me last night and said, listen to this radio, and I didn't know he's going to be on.
You didn't?
No, I did not.
So it was a surprise to hear his voice.
Yes.
Yeah, she said, what are they talking about? I says, we never plan on what we're going to talk about. We just wing it. We just make it up as we go along.
Yeah.
And you know what? I was listening first. I turned it on around 8 o'clock, and I said, what kind of music is this? It's lousy music.
Did you?
Yeah, I find it lousy.
Yeah.
But then, well, I guess I'll just adjust to it. I'll listen to your station from now on every Sunday.
Well, that's a very frank, and I appreciate your candor, especially about someone else's show and not mine.
It was 8 o'clock. It was boring. I said, "Oh, what kind of music did they put on?"
Yeah. I wasn't on at that time. That's not my fault at all. That's somebody else's problem.
But Greg, explain how.
I'll tell him.
Explain how their store funded you during fundraising.
Yeah, I would go to the store fairly frequently, but after
maybe if I see you, I'd remember.
Maybe. But in the, I guess I was more prone to go there in the late 90s, and then although I, you know, I'm, as you know, I'm fairly familiar with it before, but I got to know the owners of the store fairly well, and then eventually they knew that I did this program because I started doing this program in 2000,
uh-huh.
And then they wanted to support the show and support the station. So they became a donor, a very uh-huh. generous donor to this station. And I'm very thankful to them personally.
Oh.
And so they had for a while. They
got ripped off.
Well, there was a bit of a problem that developed here at the station that I won't go into great detail about it now. Although if anybody wants to email me, I can certainly answer any questions in that forum. A little problem developed. Nothing. Our relationship between me and the owners was fine. Some problem developed, an unnecessary problem developed between certain members of the management and the store that was of a sort of a personal nature, which I didn't particularly appreciate. And that's one of the reasons I think that we were removed from the air.
Oh, I see.
So,
now, are you on a regular basis now every Sunday at this time?
I will. Because I mentioned that, I'll be taken off the air. I don't know. yes, I'm regularly heard here on Sunday mornings and should be until for some period of time going forward. Not forever, but as long as they'll allow it.
Okay. Now, Eva likes to flirt.
Oh, does she?
Yes, she...
Why do you say that, Mom, on the air?
No, Eva says it's healthy or something. Someone told her it's healthy.
Yes, that's true. It's when you are advancing in age, I read this. I'm originally from the Philippines.
Yes.
I read that one movie actress said it's good to flirt as you advance in age. So I started doing that.
tell me that. How would you flirt?
Sometimes because I work for the government, and when sometimes somebody wants to sit beside me, I say, well, if you're a bachelor, you may. You're not allowed. Or sometimes I say, well, I'm going to answer your question, but I see you have a ring on you, so I'm not going to answer it.
Oh.
Or sometimes one guy would say, I have a question for you. And I say, immediately I said, I'm sorry, I'm already seeing someone.
Oh, you've got the lines all written, huh?
Oh, yes. I practiced that.
Did you get a book or did you write your own script?
No. It's just an instinct.
No. Well, yeah. I've been accused by certain women that I've known closely that I am completely oblivious to women when they're flirting. They claim this. I'll walk away from something. They say, boy, she was really flirting with you. And I go, I really didn't know. I had no idea.
Oh, my God. I also study body language. So I see when a guy is or a woman is doing something, I say, okay, that's what she's saying.
Really? Well, what would you say was body language for a man? Let's say when you do start flirting with someone, what would be the body language that would say that, A, they were very uncomfortable about this, or that they were accepting of it, that they were enjoying it?
Oh, when they're accepting, they wink.
Oh.
But when they're not accepting, they put their arm, you know, to prevent you from continuing.
They fold their arms.
They fold their arms? Is that what they do?
Yes. Excuse me, Bob. I can't imagine you'd say this over the on the air.
Well, I'm known to kill people on the air.
It's revelatory for our audience. I think it's important for them to know these things because
yes,
some of the people might
really,
be naive and
it will make you feel young. It will make you feel revived. It will make you feel bubbly.
I think if I started doing things that around here, I think I'd have charges against me.
Oh, it's different. Flirting is different from sexual assault.
Yes, I don't. Somehow, I think some people don't actually draw those lines. I think it's all sexual assault.
Yeah.
Sometimes I say,
hey, don't forget, I'm single, okay? My husband passed away 10 years ago.
Oh, my condolences, too.
but that's my line, too.
Oh, it is? Oh, I see. Oh, you created that one. Oh, well, it worked on me. Well, you're a very engaging personality, I must say.
Oh, thank you very much.
See, I'm starting to flirt with you.
I'm going to visit Bob Dobbs in December. Hey, Bob, are you still there?
What did you say, Eva?
I'm going to visit Bob Dobbs in December in Hawaii.
Yeah. No, everybody's going to visit here.
I've known him since 1985.
Yeah.
Bob? No, we saw each other in 2000 at Bob Marshall's home.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And then I plan to visit him and his wife in December. He doesn't know this yet, but I'm telling you now, Bob.
Oh, good. That means there's going to be lots of flirting ahead, Bob.
I'm not going to flirt.
You're not going to flirt? If you in Hawaii,
Bob?
You don't. Well, yes, of course, because
I'm
Bob.
I'm going to flirt in Hawaii.
Yes, you're going to flirt in Hawaii.
Hey, you know what? I know how to dance the Hawaiian.
You do?
Tahitian, yeah. So I'm just going to shake my hips a little bit, and that's it.
Are you going to make a little side trip to Philippines?
No, I'm going to Australia after that.
Oh, wow.
Greg,
it's not
an interesting
worth
political
going
point.
To the Philippines. Not worth it.
It's not worth it. Why is that?
It's not worth the trip because the Philippines has gone to the dogs.
Yeah.
Greg, Eva has a historical background. Her father was the competitor with Marcos.
Yeah, I have an uncle who was the best friend of Marcos. And my cousin is now in Hawaii. She's a teacher in the University of Hawaii in the nursing department.
And so how did this play out, either your uncle's friendship with Marcos or his being a rival?
My dad was a classmate of Marcos.
Mm.
My dad told Marcos, you know, if you become the president of this country, I'm going to take my 12 children out of the Philippines. We'll look for another country because you're corrupt.
Mm.
Well, then after that, my dad lost his job after he said that to Marcos.
Yeah. Yeah, corruption is just rife. It's everywhere.
Oh, yes.
Just everywhere. I know all about it. All about it. Let me tell you. I'm an expert. I'm an expert now about corruption, and it isn't just from reading the newspapers. Actually, I could not watch the television, not read newspapers. If my only involvement was coming here to do this show, I'd know all about corruption anyway.
Yeah.
I would. I won't go into why, but I would know all about it. It's rife in society. It's in the air. It's in the oxygen. And how it doesn't permeate every single living being in its path.
I'm very disappointed every time people say, "How come you don't want to visit the Philippines?" Oh, you know what? Every time I'm thinking about that, I would say to myself, every person I would meet, I'm thinking, this guy is corrupt.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're thinking. I don't even have to go to the Philippines to get that feeling. I know exactly what you're talking about. Anyway, yes. Eva, I have to go now.
Okay.
I would like to stay
so
on with you.
I'm going to be calling you again, okay, next week?
I would love it if you called. Be a regular.
Okay.
That will be a foreign correspondent.
Yeah, yeah. You can even replace Bob. People are very irritated with Bob. They
no,
might
I
like you.
I can't replace him. I can never replace Bob. Number one, he's very good looking.
Oh, yes.
Number two, he's very intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, he's married to Carolyn Dean.
Yes. Okay. Wait. I'll dump that. For her benefit. Okay, thank you very much, Eva.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Bobby.
Yeah.
I'm gonna dump you right now. I'm gonna drop you. I'd like you to phone in. We're gonna see if Mike Mann's theory of phoning in again will help, because you are crackling quite a bit. So
okay.
I'm gonna while you get back on the phone, I'm gonna go to these incredibly important messages. And this is a little bit from the Invaders. That might interest you, seeing as we're into Black History Month. This was from The Vice, the little segment from The Vice. I hope it has some clarity to you, given that you don't see the visuals and don't know the story. But here's that little segment. We're going to go into the announcements with it, and we'll come out of the announcements with this material from The Invaders television show from 1968.
That report will be ready for tomorrow, won't it?
It's hard to say. Maybe it will and maybe it won't.
But I thought you'd finished it. Heading up that tracking station is a pretty important post for a Negro, isn't it?
Oh, so that's it.
I just asked a question.
Just because he's Negro, I'm not going to whitewash him.
Whitewash?
Oh, please, don't push me, Celia.
Find my blanket yet?
Michael, who do you think the best baseball player in the world is?
Willie Mays.
And who's the best football player?
Gale Sayers.
You go on in now. I'll be along to tuck you in. He needs heroes, Jim. Black ones.
Hey, Mike. Who throws a football better than anyone else?
Johnny Unitas. Is this a game?
No, champ. Not really. Go to bed now. Now, what was your point, Celia?
Have a service or product you want the public to know about?
Then advertise with CKLN 88.1 FM. Call sales at 416-979-5251, extension 2373.
Our diverse multicultural music and spoken word programming is streamed and broadcast 24/7 to the GTA and is heard throughout Southern Ontario on Rogers 947.
We can be heard on the web at www.ckln.fm.
Contact our sales office weekdays, Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Or drop in at 55 Gould Street at Church, second floor in the Ryerson Student Campus Center.
To advertise your product or service with CKLN, email advertising@ckln.fm.
Or call sales at 416-979-5251, extension 2373.
CKLN, celebrating 25 years of independent radio.
The views expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of CKLN Radio Incorporated. Listener discretion is advised.
The afternoon papers say you might have found something to disqualify Warren. Is that true?
Maybe. I don't know yet.
Can you tell me what it is?
Honey, it's a whole bunch of things. Little things, maybe. But mainly his record doesn't verify. One company that he worked for, they've gone out of business. Another's been nationalized. The church where he was christened, all of the records have been destroyed. Most important, it's his hands. The color of the skin of the palm.
The color of his skin? What's wrong with the color of his skin?
Well, the color of the skin of the palm.
Jim, what's wrong with you?
Well, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm trying to tell you.
You wouldn't be this hard on a white man, and you know it.
You started this song and dance. Now you finish it.
Well, it's true. You're playing whitey, trying to find some picky little thing wrong with him, just so you can prove you're better than he is.
Well, I am better. I have to be better. I have to be better than anyone else. I don't even raise my voice in a family argument, see? Because I don't want them to say that we don't know how to have a good family life. I mow that stinking lousy lawn, not once, but twice a week. Because this house is going to be neater, more well-kept than any other house on the block. You want black heroes? Fine. I want them too. But they're going to be real heroes. No flaws. The absolute best.
So we've got to run faster just to stay in the same place, is that it?
Yes, I'm afraid that's it. And you better get used to it.
And we're back on the program, and we've got Bob back, and we have a caller, and you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Whitey.
No, I'm the first black, according to last week's caller. They think that I'm the first black host of the International Connection.
Hi, Blackie.
Oh. Hello, I'll accept anything.
Hey, Greg, yeah. Why don't you play a clip from the show where they bring out the space weapons? That's pretty boring, that part.
I know, that it was about... where they start firing ray guns and things
Flying, don't they fly?
They get into spaceships. Yeah. There are weird noises and.
Do they show them flying though?
No, they don't fly.
What kind of shows? They don't have flying aliens.
No, they don't have flying aliens. They burn up though.
Yeah, I guess that's entertainment from the 60s.
Yeah, like, yeah, burning up. It was possible to do. You know, it was a big special effect back in the 60s that was expensive. Today. You know, it could be done by kids on a computer. So,
today they'd probably blow up, Greg.
Yes. Yeah. But this show had good writing, good acting, which seems to have disappeared.
That sounded fantastic.
All right. Okay.
You know what else? Hi, Bob.
Hey, great to hear from you, Dave, too.
Hey, you know, I like earlier, I found out something, Greg.
Yes. What did you find out?
I found out from Eva about flirting.
Oh.
I didn't realize women have been flirting with me for a long time.
Have you been flirted?
Yeah, apparently when they give you a dirty look and then run away, that's flirting.
Yeah, I've had that too.
Wow.
Especially around here. Yeah?
I feel a lot less suicidal now.
Yeah, thank you.
I think we're going to learn a lot from Eva.
I have a feeling, yeah, she's going to be a font of information.
Is that Eva from Michael and Eva?
No, that's another Eva.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And did you hear about Ratty's friend?
Yeah.
Did he, Nazi. He said there was no evidence of gas chambers.
I'll bring in those clips next week. I have that.
What does he mean? They were just a shower head, not a gas nozzle?
I don't know. It's just all they pop up all the time, denying that this happened. And they don't seem to put the people who deny that there were 6 million people, 6 million Jews that died, are they saying that 5,999,999 died? Or what are they saying? Where are they putting the amount?
You better watch it with that, Greg.
I know I better watch it like that with that. I could get you off the air saying something like that, even in questioning these people.
Actually, I better go now that you said that, Greg.
Yeah, run away. Yeah, that was
Greg,
that was Dave, too.
I can see why you'd identify with that show. It's very timely for your life.
Yeah, why?
Well, the last excerpt you played, you've had those conversations around the station.
That's true. Yeah. But you never hear the word Negro. That's a name. That's a word that has just fallen completely away. in common parlance. But in the 60s, that's what was used. It's and I mean, we've had people phone into the program who are of African descent, and they reject being called blacks. So,
yes.
You know, that became, I guess that replaced Negro. And then now there's probably, you know, then African American kind of became the name for black. And then, you know, a lot of people just say, no, I'm not an American, or and then there'll be something else. So, I mean, that's okay, but it's difficult to keep up with. And then you play these things or you hear these things from the past, and people think, oh, what a bunch of racists, they're talking about Negroes. And that was just what I mean, Martin Luther King called himself a Negro during that period of time, and there was the NAACP and so on, you know, colored people. That still is that was the prior to Negro, I guess. And anyway, well, you're on the air.
Good morning, Greg.
Oh, is that Andy?
Yes. Good morning, Bob. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Andy.
Good morning.
Yes.
Andy, can I say something before you start?
No problem, Bob.
Yeah, let me just finish this thought. I was reading an essay by Marshall McLuhan on the famous British writer G.K. Chesterton. He was like the 1880s, 90s, 1910.
Yeah.
And right there in the prose, he was talking about social issues, and he mentioned the word before Negro that you can't say.
Okay, really?
You know, that's the way they talked back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Negro was an improvement.
Right, right. A refinement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was just normal prose by the, it's like Bill Clinton saying it or something.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe he's not intellectual. But it's like Andy saying it.
Well, Bill Clinton's the first black president, of course.
Yeah. Okay. It's like McLuhan saying it. He didn't delete it.
Right.
He just said it.
I know.
I want to welcome everybody to the first day of Black History Month.
Are you on a different phone, Andy?
No, this is the only phone we got.
Really? You sound a bit different this week.
I don't know. Maybe it's maybe Eva got me a little frisky listening to Eva. Annie and I were listening to the radio. My wife and I, we actually gave ourselves a hug. We kind of gave us a nice little hug. Well,
that's nice.
And I thought it was apropos that Eva would phone in on the first day that we recognize Valentine's in February, and Eva, our little Cupid, passed through the airwaves.
Oh, yes, that's true. Valentine's Day is coming up.
And Eva was timely, very timely with that little segue and bringing us a little closer on a cold, cold Sunday.
Yeah, when is Sunday. That? When is that? Is that...
Well, the
14th.
It's a Saturday this year, actually. It's a Saturday.
No. Would it be?
It's yes,
a, no,
it is.
14... 2 weeks, 14. It's a Saturday, isn't
it? It's a great, I mean...
Oh, yeah, you're right, because the 15th, yeah, it'll be Saturday.
Right. So, I mean, it's a great weekend for Valentine when it falls on a Saturday. You got a big Friday night and Saturday, and even Dalton McGuinty has given his family day on the 16th to be home.
Oh.
The second annual family day in Ontario, a statutory holiday.
Statutory holiday.
Yeah, whatever. I call it Dalton's Day, and
yeah.
He's got it on the 16th. So it's a long weekend of romance, and I want to thank Eva. Maybe she can chime in through that weekend on the Sunday and see how her Cupid magic is doing. She is the queen of friskiness.
All right. Well, so I think she's going to be a regular, it sounds like. She certainly has captivated the audience.
Absolutely. Got us going a little bit.
And Andy, it shows what a good programmer I was. She told me that in personal email, but I knew if I bring that up, it will spark a new level. I have an instinct for good programming.
Fantastic interviewer.
Yeah, she is.
No, Bob.
Me.
Bob.
Yeah.
Bob is the fantastic interviewer.
Bob is a good interviewer. He engages the person that he's talking to.
Yes,
brings
unlike
the audience
me.
Closer.
Yeah.
I
disengage the audience.
You certainly do. a remote distance.
Yeah, everybody just runs away.
Eva, you should know that Greg
Dalton
is well hated in Toronto.
Oh, I just hated individual.
I like CTV. Speaking of friskiness and, you know, couples getting together, the Super Bowl is on today, the biggest television spectacular of the year, shown in 200.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm like Norm Crosby, the comedian. You know Norm Crosby?
Yes, malapropism.
Kind of gets the words all mixed up.
Yeah, that's called a malapropism.
A malapropism.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, don't tell me.
No, a malapropism.
Well, don't tell me, guy. I know my sadistics. You know, I'm up on my sadistics. I know every number going. I know my sadistics. It's statistics. Don't get smart with me, guy. I know my sadistics. That's Norm Crosby, yeah. The great Norm Crosby.
Good, good. Boy, we're reaching back today, aren't we?
Well,
the Invaders from 90. Do you remember the Invaders, Andy?
Yeah, vaguely. Vaguely,
vaguely,
yeah.
Huh?
Vaguely. It was, I was kind of a Lost in Space guy.
Oh.
You know, Lost in Space.
Yeah, that was a bit lowbrow.
Yeah, I was more of a Lost in
Space. But I must admit, when I was a kid, I remember my dad tried to keep me away from stupid material.
Yes.
And he thought that that Irwin Allen show, Lost in Space, was really, really dumb. And I had some sort of attraction to it. I think it's because they put Billy Mumy there, and he was like a kid, and you identified with him out there in space.
Yeah,
and it was sort
who, was, of, what, it was, who was the older gentleman that always, Ray Merlin or Merlin or?
Who?
He was in Lost in Space. He was the older man. And he,
the one that looked sort of more like a pedophile than anything else?
Yes,
That was,
Well, Ray Merlin? I don't know what I'm saying.
No. Yeah, I think he looked like the guy from My Favorite Martian, but he wasn't.
He wasn't. Anyhow,
He'd do this. He'd go, oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Yes.
That one? Yeah.
Yes.
Doctor, that was Doctor, I can't remember his name.
Bob, do you remember Lost in Space?
No, I never saw it, but it did jibe with me and Bob Marshall. Did you know, did we mention it, that Bob May died a week or two ago? The guy was inside the robot?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? Inside Robbie the Robot?
Yeah, the Bob May, he died at the age of 69.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Young man.
Hmm.
Hmm. Yeah, regarding the Super Bowl, I was talking.
Was he caught in there or something? Did he die inside there? Or he was outside of the robot, was he, when he passed? Was he a little?
It was latent for 40 years.
Hmm.
But
on another planet.
Bob Marshall and I were talking about it, and Bob Marshall brought up the synchronicity, and right when we were talking about it, we found out the next day that Bob May, who has the same initials as Bob Marshall, died while we were talking about him.
Wow.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to watch it, but we lived in a semi-detached house in Scarborough, and so my dad was sitting there reading the newspaper. I knew Lost in Space was on. I was fuming, and next door I could hear the soundtrack of Lost in Space next door because the five kids next door were watching it, and that was driving me just crazy because I could hear it.
Yes.
But I knew it was Lost in Space. Like I hear I heard that John Williams music. You know that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't have that clip immediately to play for you. Such is life.
But it
just drove me nuts. And my dad was sitting there just watching me going berserk.
So Lost in Space, just to bring the audience, and Invaders, they're all in the same time frame right there?
Approximately. Like, I think that the Lost
in Space... A little later, 60s?
It debuted in January 1967 as a mid-season replacement.
Okay.
Evidently, they made the movie, they made a longer film of it. It was an hour and 20 minutes, and... evidently, that up till that time, no television program had tested higher with audiences than that show. It just was. ABC was really big on it.
Even
after
bigger than Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah. It was big. It was huge.
Book 'em, Dano. Book 'em.
Yeah. ABC was really thought that they had a hit on their hands with it, and to a certain extent they did, but they started meddling with the premise, and things started going bad.
I want to get back to the friskiness part of the show with Eva.
Yeah, please.
The Super Bowl will be shown here in Canada, and CTV will not air the commercials for Ashley Madison, the dating service for people looking to stray outside their regular marriage. So it's not being shown up here, but it will be shown in a few states. That's Ashley Madison. It's Canadian. And CTV says, no, it's just a little too risque, a little too frisky for us north of the border.
Well, so you're saying that Ashley Madison tried to buy the ads on the Super Bowl?
At CTV, yes.
At CTV, and they wouldn't allow them to do it.
They would not allow it. No.
Yeah.
But Ashley Madison says, we will find airtime, but it'll be down in the states, certain states. But I guess the CTV didn't want to get involved in any kind of friskiness and that type of stuff. So, you know, it's just a counterculture thing.
They're
going
very
on.
Conservative company, Bell Globe Media.
Yes. You know, but other than that, no, I want to welcome Eva, and hopefully she'll chime in on the Valentine weekend.
Hey, speaking of, you're a big radio guy, Andy. Bob, I want to draw you into this conversation.
I sort of didn't know whether I wanted to talk about it, but I'm going to go ahead. Bob,
Guy Williams or Jonathan Harris.
Jonathan Harris was Dr. Smith. That was it. That's all coming back to me. And Guy Williams, of course, was Zorro originally. And June Lockhart, she was in Lassie. They found themselves together on Lost in Space with Billy Mumy, who eventually showed up on some space program, Babylon 5. That sci-fi show that I never watched.
The show ran from September 1565 to March 6, 68, 83 episodes, Lost in Space.
Yeah. It's pretty lowbrow. The Invaders was at a much higher level, more of an adult program, I would say.
And the sets of Lost in Space were kind of hokey. You knew that was a fake rock and cardboard all over the place.
And
it was all kind of hokey.
It was a kid's show, really.
Lost in Space. Yeah. You know, I think it was a spinoff from the Jetsons, perhaps. That type of family.
Jetsons preceded it, certainly.
So it's all in that era. You know, this is the Americans trying to get to the moon all through that 60s period, you see, with John F. Kennedy saying we can get to the moon in a decade.
Yeah, and we weren't there yet.
No, not
yet.
That's
right. In the show, the Invaders only lasted a year, January 67 and March 68.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a mid-season replacement. They made 17 episodes the first season, and then they did 43 or 44 the next, or 26 in the next, so that's 43 episodes, and that was the end of it. That was a tragedy to me when 68 in September rolled around, the new season, and the Invaders wasn't there. It was a disaster to me. But I want to bring up the cancellation on radio of Richard Serrett.
And Bloom. Or Leopold, what's the guy's name? Nelson Bloom. Nelson Thal.
And that was, Bob, you used to appear on that program, didn't you?
Yes, and I was considered too controversial, too far out for Richard, so he never had me on. Nelson tried to get me on, but Richard found me too far out.
Are you familiar with that program,
no,
Andy?
No.
Yeah, you're a morning sort of radio person,
AM,
aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy was on at night, and he
became popular. He was on every night, apparently.
No, I know the name Richard Serrett. Yes, he comes out of it's on a 640.
He was on CFRB, and then they got rid of him. I don't know what they replaced him with, but
did he do the show Strange Days Indeed?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah,
I didn't really.
On Sunday night we used to hear. No, on Saturday night we would hear it on CFRB. Strange Days Indeed, and it would all be about UFOs and extraterrestrial things.
Yeah,
and
that was his shtick.
Parapsychology.
Andy. Andy, that was this other guy. I can't remember his name. He used to work at the Channel 47, Elliot something.
Okay. Yeah, the Scotsman.
I was on his show.
The Scotsman.
I was on his show several times.
I see. Yeah, Strange Days.
Strange Days.
I used to phone into Strange Days Indeed, and I would report UFOs over Rice Lake just outside of Peterborough. And we would see them on clear summer nights. And there would be four or five in the air just off the water horizon at Rice Lake. And the reason they'd be in that area is because for the close proximity to the Pickering power plant, the nuclear power plant.
And
they would swoop down there and take their findings and then move off into the universe. But their satellite position was Rice Lake, and we used to phone in because we would see them periodically on a summer night after a few beers.
After a few beers. Yes,
we would see them.
Now, Greg, he gets a bit upset about these kind of things. He and Dan aren't inclined to think about that. You never thought of that in terms of Andy, did you?
What? Drinking beer?
Phoning in reporting UFOs.
Oh, yes. I would phone into Strange Days Indeed to report them.
I like that.
You know.
That's funny.
You like that,
yeah, that's funny.
You know, it's just the way it happened up there.
It's okay to do that with a radio program. I mean, it's not serious.
There's an area up there called Gore's Landing. There's an area up there called Gore's Landing.
Yeah.
And Bewdley. Oh, yeah, they would just hover above the water. And then they would swoop out quickly, and I said to the crowd I was with, my brother-in-law, I said, they're gone to Pickering nuclear plant. I guarantee you, that's why they're up here. You know, it's an amazing sight.
It's a good theory.
You know.
Did you get all scared?
Not really, no. No?
No? You weren't frightened of the extraterrestrials?
No. Bring it on, you know. We got more than them.
Yeah, they might be able to help.
You know. Bring them on, you know. We could use all the confusion we can get.
Yeah.
Bring them on. You know, they can land right here in the parking lot. Anyhow.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
I gotta go, but I want to say I want to welcome Eva to the show, and I hope, look forward to hearing from her on Valentine weekend.
Yeah.
She is our little Cupid out there, frisky little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And woman.
We have to say woman here, Andy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, woman, frisky,
practice.
And we don't know she's little, so we'll use that. We'll say frisky.
Stop it, sized
woman. Yeah.
Stop it, Greg. Just stop it. Going down fast.
Enjoy Black History Month.
Yes.
And Eva, please turn in at 8 o'clock next week. You're going to hear a different piece of music at 8 o'clock. I know she was a bit wasn't impressed with the 8 o'clock music portion.
Yeah, it's a different person comes in next week.
And I hope to be there with Jeff next Sunday.
Oh, really?
And we will put together a program that will astound and amaze Eva. The music will be nothing against the music was this morning, but we'll have a different take on music.
Yeah, get a 2-4 and get ready at 7
Absolutely.
O'clock.
We're coming in with our toques on.
Yeah, okay. Thanks,
okay,
Andy.
Guys, enjoy Black History Month.
I am going to.
All right, then.
I think.
28 days. Bye
yeah,
for now.
Yeah.
Hey, Greg, I just want to tell you, I know Eva's personality. She cannot believe that she's being talked about. Just goes on and becomes a theme of the show. But that shows you what our community is. Our community is whoever shows up is the community.
Of course.
And become a theme.
Of course. That's the way it should be, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're
going to
go.
I want to go back to Richard, sir. This is an important story.
Okay, Bob, I'm going to go to this because I must. I'm forced to.
Hey, America, I'm Paris Hilton. I'm just hot.
That looks very hot, Mr. McFeely.
Oh, it is very hot.